sermon. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. So Paul, now that I've sent you everywhere else, I got to bring you back. So Paul is establishing, listen, we have been reading how Paul has said, listen, just because you're a Jew does not mean that you're going to heaven. And just because you're a Gentile does not mean you're cast out. And because you're a Gentile does not mean you have to become a Jew. And so all these excuses and all these reasons that they've been using all the way up to this point, Paul's going, no. And then we get to here in 9:30, and Paul makes it very clear why the Gentile can go to heaven and why the Jew, not every Jew, but why the majority of the Jews won't go to heaven. There's clarification here. And guys, when you look at this and you think about this, I want you to really understand what Paul is saying. And I know as I'm looking out, of course, a snow day, so I have the majority here that are just faithful. Y'all love Jesus. Y'all, that sounded Southern. y'all love Jesus, and that's why you're here. And so you go, well, this may not apply to me, but listen, we need to grab hold of this, and we need to understand, because even if you're saved here today, you're born again, as John chapter 3 says, you need to understand what's going on in the minds of others so that then you become educated and you can teach them if they're struggling. Amen? So just because you go, well, I'm saved, this doesn't apply to me. Hey, it may not apply to you for salvation, but it does apply to you to learn, to understand, so you can teach somebody else the truth of God's word. Amen? So here he says in 9:30, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So as we look at this, Paul says, hey, let me give you a clear understanding of exactly what's going on. The reason that the Gentiles have righteousness and the Jews do not, or Israel does not have righteousness, bless you, is because I'm sorry. Okay. It's because Yeah. Oh, and everything just crashed. Amen. All right. Wow, today's a day. It's because here's what's happened. The Gentiles, the only reason that they have righteousness is because they have faith in Jesus Christ. They believed in Jesus Christ. And the reason that the Jews do not have righteousness, as Paul is saying, is because they're still holding on to the law. They're still holding on to works. Now, as we look at this and we go, okay, who's saved and who isn't saved? As you look at yourself, look at your own life. And guys, listen, this is so important that you look at yourself, because just because you're sitting here, I am not going to presume that you are saved or that you are born again. I don't know your heart. God does. And here's the thing, you do too. So as we look at this and we go, okay, who's saved and how do we know if we're saved? Well, the Gentiles, they say, hey, I believe in Jesus Christ, and so therefore, I am righteous. Now, it doesn't mean that their behavior is righteous. What it means that is that they are children of God, therefore, they're righteous before God in the fact that they can go to the cross. The Jews, they say, hey, we believe in the law. We believe in works. We believe in doing it this way. We're going to do it ourselves, and we're going to continue to do it ourselves, and we're going to, and so Paul says that doesn't count. Some of you sitting here today, you say, hey, I'm a good person. Well, guess what? That's like the Jews saying, I believe in the law. It doesn't count. It doesn't mean you're going to heaven. It is by faith. And so when Paul points out here in 30 through 33, he says, what shall we say then that Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness? Because, you know, the Jews were pursuing the law the whole Old Testament, right? And the Gentiles, they weren't. Now all of a sudden the Gentiles have a right to righteousness and the Jews don't. And so when he says, even the righteousness of faith, 31, but Israel pursuing the law of righteousness has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith. Guys, it is only by faith can you be saved. The Jews, they went, hey, we've had God our whole time. We've had the Word of God the whole time. We've had this, we've had that. And so they make all these things and say, listen, we're God's chosen people. We're from the line of Abraham. And boom, 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 boom. And Paul says, yeah, but you don't have the faith in Jesus Christ. Because many people believe that the Jews were going to heaven just because they were Jewish. But that's not true. They only go to heaven because they believe in Jesus Christ. They've given their life to Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul establishes that. Well, here's what I want you to see. I want you to look at Matthew. Is this working now to pull up Matthew? Okay. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, which is up here. And it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. And so what we're seeing here is Matthew is establishing, and he says, listen, you know what? A lot of people think that they're going to heaven just because they're a good person. A lot of people think they're going to heaven because they haven't killed anyone. A lot of people think that, hey, I'm better than my neighbor, and so therefore I'm a good person, and I'm going to heaven. And Matthew's like, look, narrow's the way. In other words, there's only one way. How many have ever driven down in the city, in New York City? Right? Oh man, I love driving in New York City. We were driving one time, I think we were actually in D.C. on this one. In big cities, most East Coast big cities are like this. But I think we were in D.C. on this one. It was either New York City or D.C., I can't remember. And we were in the white minivan that we used to have before it gave up the ghost. And as you're driving, we're hearing this click. It's like click, 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 click. Like this whole time we're driving, we're like, what in the world is click? I'm like, what in the world's clicking? That drives me crazy, right? Because as a mechanic, and this is my car, and I got my kids and my mother-in-law in the car and my wife, and I'm going, what's this noise that's clicking my van? Is it going to break down? And then I realized, here's what's clicking. We had a semi running beside us, and the mirror was clicking off the rivets of the trailer, the mirror of my minivan. Yeah, right? And so when we realized what happened, my wife does this in the front seat. Right? And so, but there's nowhere for me to go. I can't go left anymore, because if I go left anymore, I'm going to eat the guardrail. And by the way, we're running like 55, 60 mile an hour. And so you're hearing this clack, 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 clack. We're just bouncing off of this thing. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like for me, this is adrenaline rush. I'm like, oh, this is cool, right? I know most of you, especially the ladies, are like, no. And everybody else in the van is hiding their head. And I'm like, check this out, man. You can't go anywhere. We are stuck. 60 mile an hour, man, and it's just clicking off of the... Okay, that's a rush for me. So at any rate, if you notice in the city, and like if you ever seen in L.A., if you ever driven in L.A., or if you've ever been to Texas, how many have driven in Texas? Texas will have 8 lanes one way. And I mean, I'm talking, it will be packed, and they're just 8 lanes of traffic. It's a solid bumper. It is crazy. And then they got an exit. Right? Milton, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And so here you got 8 lanes running this way. Everybody's running 80, 90 mile an hour. They're just going for it, right? They don't even know where they're going, but they're going. And then all of a sudden you got an exit. And so you got some jerk over here in the far left lane who goes, oh, I got 500 feet to get over an exit, right? You got anybody know? Like, whew. And my wife didn't appreciate it when I did that. And so... But this is what you have. So when you look at this passage, guys, and it talks about the narrow gate that leads to the way, and then wide is or broad is the way to hell. Here's what you have, literally, guys. I want you to get this, because you've seen on pictures gridlock in L.A. You've seen pictures of all this traffic even around here, and you have all this traffic, man, and it's just flowing down the highway, and you got one exit. That's narrow. Wide is the way, the multitude driving straight to hell. That's your picture. That when you read this passage, that's what I want you to see. Because that's literally what's happening. Literally, That is what's going on. When you have wide is the way and narrow is the gate, you got 8 lanes of traffic and everybody's just blowing through life going their own way. And Jesus says, listen, if you want salvation, it's this exit. And they blow right by the exit. Whew. What's happening with the Jews is they go, hey, listen, we are going to heaven because Abraham's our father. Remember we talked about that in chapters 8 and 9? The earlier parts of 9. Hey, we're going. Remember, we went to John chapter 8. Remember that? And they're all like, Abraham's our father, and so therefore we're going to heaven. And Jesus said, what? You're not going to heaven. Satan's your father. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Why? What? Why? Abraham's our father. We're not children of fornication, meaning children outside of marriage. Abraham's our father. And they said, no, Satan's your father. Because if Abraham were your father, you would believe the things of Abraham. You would have the faith in God. And many of you, you believe the way of the world. If you believe the way of the world, you can't have faith in God. You can't call yourself a Christian and then stand next to what the world believes. You can't call yourself a Christian. Yesterday or Friday, they had these huge protests in Albany for pro-life, for pro-choice. You guys seen that? You had pro-life on one side, you had pro-choice on the other side, and even one of our congressmen was standing over there with a pro-choice sign. I'm thinking, dude, you're a congressman. You need to sit down and be quiet. You don't join in protests. That's my political opinion. But what's happening is you have people over here who are pro-life, you got people over here who are pro-choice, and you got Christians, okay, so-called Christians who will defend pro-choice. How can you say, I love Jesus and support activities that God is against? You just can't. How can you say, we have this massive, oh my goodness, I'm going to go here, guys, but it's all right, hold on. There's a snowstorm outside, we might as well let it storm a little inside. How can you support homosexuality? Listen, I have people who are Christians or say they're Christian, and they will straight up argue, in my face, angry, spitting at me angry, so to support what God says is wrong. And then I asked the question, how can you call yourself a Christian and believe what God hates? And then they defend their position. I'm telling you, you're not going against me. You disagree with me. You're not going against me. You're going against God. The Bible says that if you are a child of God, you will agree with God. And if you're not a child of God, you will not agree with God. What makes the difference? That you have faith in Jesus Christ. Real faith. Well, now what makes the difference of real faith? 1 Corinthians. It's not up here and it's in your Bible. You can write it down. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians. Or I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 5:17. For if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. Behold, the old has passed away and all things become new. The way you used to think is gone. It's not gone, because we can still be an idiot. But when you go, I used to believe in this, but God said it's wrong and I agree with God now, so I don't agree with that. That's the new. It's the new thought process. You don't get a new body. You get a new thought process because you have a new heart, and your heart is lined up with the things of God, not the things of the world. And Paul's trying to get this across in Romans 9:30 through, is when he says, listen, guys, it is the reason that the Jews are not under righteousness is because they're still holding on to the law, and they're not holding on to the faith in Jesus Christ like the Word of God says to hold on to. And the reason some people today say they're a Christian, but they still hold on to the values of the world is because truly they're holding on to the values of the world because they've not gotten a hold of Jesus yet. There's your difference. And you go, oh, this is divisive. No, it's not divisive. It's called clarity. You see the difference? Listen, how are we to know that we're born again? How are we to know that we're a child of God unless we understand the things of God to understand how we're separate? You cannot stand with the world and stand with God. You can't do that. Because they are, listen, they are polar opposites. The things of the world should repulse you. Unless it's ice cream or chocolate or, you know, things like that that are really just good, right? Other than that, I'm sorry, Larry, forgot about that ice cream. By the way, I'm going to tell you, Larry did good. His daughter had, Naomi had her birthday. There was ice cream there, and Larry didn't touch it until everybody left. And so, I'm kidding, he didn't have any. 2 gallons of it, too, just sitting there. 2 gallons. I don't know who would do that to him, but... So, at any rate, it says here, get back into this. Listen, it's the separation, guys. You, listen, the faith and righteousness that the Bible is talking about is you standing with God. You know, people say, hey, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No. God said it, that settles it. Your belief just shows your faith. Whether you believe what God says or you don't believe what God says, that shows where you're at. That shows whether you're a child of God or you're not a child of God. And if you ever, ever go against this, you're not a child of God. And you go, that's not accurate, because that's not how I feel. I can disagree with the things in the Bible and still be a child of God. No, you can't. You can say, Pastor, I don't agree with you. And that's fine. That's your right. Because everybody has the right to be wrong. It's the Word of God. And this is where we stand. Amen? That went over like a brick in water. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11 is really the chapter that defines what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 9, verse 30 through 33. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see what God expects. We see what is counted unto righteousness. We see what makes one a child of God. And by the way, guys, I'm going to tell you, you know, the world doesn't make it easy on Christians. They don't. There was a video, and man, I'm telling you, I should have played the video today. Oh my goodness, there's, I'm gonna make up a sermon just to play the video. I'm kidding. There's plenty in there for me to add it to later. But here's what we're going to find in Romans chapter 11. That's what I said. I just wanted to see if you were listening. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews. Snow days throw me off too, guys. Don't worry. It's all good. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So here we have the author of Hebrews, which, by the way, we really don't know who it is, who the author is. Some say it's Paul. And it could be Paul, because Paul, in all of Paul's writings, if you read it, he equates sports and life. Like, he always has these analogies, which I love, right? And then in Hebrews, what do we find? We find sports and life. In 12, if you go to 12, he talks about running the race and everything. So it could be Paul. Others think that it's someone more educated than Paul, which is really kind of hard to believe, because Paul was pretty stinking educated, amen? But either way, we don't know who the author is. I'm not going to pretend like I do, and I'm not going to lay claim to it. I'm just simply saying we don't know. But as we look at what the author is saying, he says, listen, we're going to start chapter 11. It's the faith chapter. And he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by what? Faith. We got to go back to faith. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. What is your testimony? Your testimony is your lifestyle that establishes where you are. And so if your testimony is still defending the things of the world, then guess what? You do not have a testimony for God. You have a testimony for the world, which means you belong to the world. If your testimony is the things that stand for God, that means you are opposite of the world. And so therefore, it's going to show that you stand for God and that you're against the world. And so as we look at this, guys, listen, I'm just trying to make this real simple math, okay? For by faith, the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And it says, okay, by faith, we understand that God has done what God said he was going to do. By faith, we believe that the word of God is the word of God and it stands true. By faith, we believe that God is not a liar. By faith, we believe every word, jot, and tittle that is in the Bible. By faith. Verse 4. Now, the author says, I'm going to show you throughout history. I'm going to show you throughout all of time. Look here in 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Look here in 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, that is, that Jesus is, and that he is, that Jesus is, a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I don't want you to get confused or lost in the he's and the him's, being he the one who's pursuing, or who he is the one who they're looking at, being Jesus. That's why if you have the New King James, you'll notice that the he and the hims are capitalized. If they're capitalized in as they are in 11:6, the capitalization on he and him is simply to show that it's talking about Jesus. Just simplifies things. Other versions won't have that capitalized, and you have to process the information to work through it. Look here in 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Can you imagine the faith that it took? And I know many had faith. I'm just looking at Noah for a minute. The faith that it took to build that ark. He's in the middle of the desert. They've never seen rain. And he's building an ark because he's going to float away in it. Can you imagine if people were like, yeah, you floating away all right, Noah? And listen, if you had the people in the administrations and the government today that you're going to have in 2017, they would lock you up for being crazy. And yet Noah is going for 120 years. Has somebody done the math? 120 years? Noah stuck to what God called him to do. 120 years. Listen, after 6 months, we're like, psh, we're out. I don't see any difference, right? 120 years. He stayed faithful. I can imagine, God, show me some rain. I mean, come on, it's been 90 years, and I'm tired, and I've not seen the first hint of rain. All right, I'll keep building. 120 years. That is faith. Because he believed in what he didn't see. Rain that was coming because he had faith in the God who told him to do it. What hinders our faith? What stops us from moving forward? Because we're like, oh, we live in a microwave society, right? Instant. There's bumper stickers out that say an instant's not soon enough. Quick lube down here, it was a Haviline quick lube, says an instant is faster than a Jiffy, because Jiffy lube and instant lube or instant oil change or whatever it is, an instant's faster than a Jiffy. Are we crazy? Yeah, we are, right? We have lost touch with reality. Look here in 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, and he prepared an ark. Look here in 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, man, I'm reminded of when God called us to East Greenbush. And I remember crying out. I said, okay, God, by the way, we were in the parking lot off of exit 9 in Clifton Park at the Best Western, the hotel there. And my girls were in the car. Sherry was in the car. And I got out of the car. It was running, and they were sitting in there. And I remember getting out of the car, and I walked over on the other side of a truck. And there's a tree in the parking lot. If anybody knows the parking lot, you know what I'm talking about. And I leaned against a tree, and I just cried out. I mean, I was crying. I was crying like a baby. Tears were just flowing. And I said, okay, God, I will do what you tell me to do, and I will move here. I will come here and I will start a church. I will do what you say. God, the only thing I ask, God, is that I am always able to pay my bills so I have a good testimony with the people for you. And God, that I can take my family out for dinner once a week. That's all I ask. And I'll come here. 10 years ago. Man. We've eaten at some nice restaurants, haven't we? We've paid every bill on time. There's been times where we've looked and it's like, whoo, there is no money there. How are we going to do this? I remember one time I was out cutting grass. My wife comes out. We're $1,000 short of paying our mortgage. And I looked at her and I went, you're talking to the wrong man. And I started to mow her up and drove off. Right? Because I wanted to get a job, and God said, nope. I sent you out here to do work. You're going to do the work. It wasn't about me getting a job that was going to detract me or whatever. It was God was establishing faith. God was saying, listen, times are going to get real hard. And you're going to run into some people that are going to be real jerks. And man, you're gonna get a beat down, John. That's just all there is to it. You need to know right up front. And so what's gonna happen is, of course, he didn't let me know that up front, but what he was letting me know was that by not giving me permission to get a job, listen, I'm telling you, when we're talking, we had twice going out as what we had coming in. Twice going out as what we had coming in. And you go, how'd you pay your bills? Whoo! Man, I'm telling you, if you could have lived that ride that we were living, you would never ask that question again. You would do what Sherry did. She quit worrying and she started getting excited about what was coming in the mail the next day. She was getting excited about checking the mailbox, not because to see if there was more money in there, but to see how God was going to do it. The whole perspective changed. And the reason that I believe that God wouldn't let me have a job, that God told me, no, you're not going to get a job. Your job is to build this church. Your job is to start the church and build the church, to grow the church, to reach the people, to love the people. Your job is to do what I've told you to do, not to go out and get another job. And I'm like, but Lord, I got to take care of my family. Nah, listen, I'm going to take care of your family. I'm going to take care of you. You just do what I've told you to do. And the whole reason, and I didn't figure this out, by the way, until years afterwards, right? The whole reason that God did that was because he was building my faith to trust him when everything looked like it was going to fall apart. I remember when God said, I'll take care of you. And not only do I remember him saying it, but I watched him do it day after day after day after day. It's by faith. By faith, guys, I'm telling you, when you look at the faith that you have in God or the faith you have in the world, you will see who your love is for. You will also see who works in your life, who determines your steps. The world will determine your steps or God will determine your steps. So he goes on in 9. So in 8 it says, by faith Abraham obeyed. Verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. By faith Abraham left all that he had. Abraham left all of his goodness to dwell in a tent in a foreign land. But he was okay. Because he had God. And I'm telling you, you know how you know he was okay? Because if you go back and read what was going on in that time, you have his cousin Lot, or nephew Lot, come up and say, Abraham says, they were going to divide the land, and Abraham, being the older one, should have gotten a choice land. But instead, he told Lot, he says, you pick and I'll take what you don't pick. And Lot picks the plush land for grazing and grass and cattle and just a beautiful land. And he gives Abraham the hillside. And Abraham's like, okay. Because he had faith in God that God was going to take care of him. Guys, I simply want you to see what it means to have faith in God and what it means to have faith in works. Abraham or Lot put faith in works and it crashed and burned. No pun intended. Some of you will get it when you go back and read. Look here in 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. Many of you know what Sarah was going through. Look here in 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. But it didn't matter because they understood that this was not their home. It didn't matter that they didn't get everything on earth because they understood this was not their home. Guys, again, what I want you to see, Paul talks about faith and works in Romans, and here I'm showing you the difference between faith and works. I want you to have faith as these men and women had faith in the Bible. For those, look here in 14, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now, listen here, look here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, but now they desire a better what? A better thing than this world has to offer. And by faith, they know they're going to obtain it. Look here. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Whoo! That right there, man, if that don't get you jacked up, your jack is broken. Doesn't matter what's on the earth. Who cares? It comes and goes. How many have possessed or obsessed over a possession and then it only got wiped out somewhere? It got burned up or it got flooded out or it got stolen or it got broken and you're like, oh, that was worthless. How many have ever been in that situation? Okay, yeah, some don't want to admit it, right? I remember when we lived in North Carolina, we went through hurricane. Which hurricane was that? Can't remember. I don't remember. Anyway, it was in 96 and we went through a hurricane and in the hurricane trees were falling all around us and we had three trees fall on our home. And we had a building out back and a tree fell right through the center of the building and crushed the building. And so of course when the tree came down and ruined the rooftop, what happens to the things inside? Oh, they're going to get wet. And typically, power tools do not handle water well. Wooden things do not, they handle water real well. They absorb it up like it's nothing. And so we lost a lot of possessions. Things come, things go. People lose their house in fires and all their possessions. They come and they go. And here we see that our patriarchs are like, that's okay because we're going to get a better place. All this is immaterial. It's going to come. It's going to go. Man, my love is for my God. My hope is in my God. My home is with my God. And He is building me a heavenly city. You want it? It's yours. They didn't value. I mean, listen, they appreciated the things on earth, but that wasn't where their value was. But now they desire a better. What's better than having everything on earth, man? Having that city that God's preparing for them. Look here in 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. If you remember that, they're walking up and Isaac says, hey, where's the sacrifice, Dad? And Abraham said, don't worry, son, God will provide. He just knew. He believed. He had the faith. Man, for most of us, if we don't see it, we run the other way. Oh, God can't be in this because you know what? He hasn't given it to me. I can't see it. I can't lay my hands on it. I can't take a selfie with it. I'm gone. And we typically run right before we cross that line to see it. I'm telling you, it's by faith, guys. It is by faith that you will see where you are. Look here in 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on top of his staff. Look here in 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure. Look here in 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. And his parents had faith. God will take care of my child. Some of you parents, man, you think that you can take care of your children better than God can take care of your children. You get right with God and then give them up to God for Him to do a work with them. And you just be faithful and you stand and do what's right. Quit saying God doesn't have the answers, because if you're screwing it up, you don't have the answers either. Look here in 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Because he could have gained all of Egypt. But because of his faith in God, he refused that. By the way, it was his mother who taught him the faith in God. Look at here at 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I don't care that Pharaoh can take my life. What I care about is who can take my soul. By faith. Look here in 28. By faith, he kept the Passover. Look here in 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. Look here in 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish. 32. It goes on and says, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and also David and Samuel and the prophets. Listen, I don't have the time to tell you of everybody that had the faith and how it changed not only their life, but it changed their entire city and changed their entire country and changed their entire lives. And not just me and my family, but anybody that came in contact with me or my family. By faith. Guys, when we look at Romans chapter 9, verses 30 through 33, that's what Paul is talking about. Here's my question for you. Where are you at with your faith? Where are you at with your belief in God? Where are you at with your belief in the world's ways and not God's? Where are you at? Where are you at with your walk? Because that's going to determine where you end up. We say we have faith, but yet we don't do the things God asks us to do. We say we have faith, but we argue with somebody who points out our sin. We say we have faith, but we won't stand there long enough to show what we profess. We say we have faith, but when we get into the world, we show the people we're just like them. There has to be a defining moment. There has to be a difference. There has to be a time where you go, I quit going with the crowd. I quit going with the flow, and I'm going to stand with Jesus. Because listen, things are good here, but I want what's great. Things are nice here, but man, I want what's awesome. Whatever it is on earth, I'm good with. But man, when I get to heaven, the promises that I have, why? Because I have faith. I have faith in the God that made me. I have faith in the God that saved me. And I have faith in the God that has prepared the city for me. I have faith in the God who's going to take me. I have faith in the God who's going to secure me. I have faith in the God who made all these promises that I have faith in. Guys, man, we live in a rough world. And it's only going to get worse. And if you're hanging on to I'm a good person, you have no hope. You're going to die and go to hell. If you're hanging on, hey, I have faith in Jesus, so you know what? You can take the flesh, but he's got the soul. When you have that kind of faith, that's when you're going to make a difference. That's when your life will change, and that's when you will not obsess over the things you can't control, but you'll obsess over the one who controls things. Where are you at today? Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, man, I lean heavy on the world. I go under pressure when the name of Jesus is mentioned in the world or around my friends, around my family. I go under pressure. I don't talk about Jesus. Pastor, I struggle believing all the ways that you talk about. Well, there's a couple things that could be happening. One, if you struggle to believe the things the way I'm saying them, you could just have a very weak walk with Jesus. You could be a child of God's, but you just have never taken the time to learn the things of God. But if you stand and you say, hey, you know what, I just don't agree with the things of God, well, now that separates you. Which means you don't have faith, which means you don't have Jesus Christ, which means you have no hope, which means you're going to die and go to hell. If today you want to change that and you say, Pastor, today I want to put my faith in Jesus Christ, then I want you to pray this prayer. It's a simple prayer. Now the words aren't what save you. It's the heart attitude that you believe the words that you're about to pray. That's what saves you. The prayer is just a roadmap to walk you through it. The prayer is just give you a date, a time stamp where you can say, this was the day I made a conscious decision to put my faith in Jesus Christ. And so if that's your desire, you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, today I'm putting my faith in you dying on the cross for me. Today I am putting my faith in the promises of your word. Today I am leaving the world and I am stepping into your arms. Today I believe that you are the Savior of the world, that you died on the cross, that you conquered death and hell, that you rose on the third day. Today, I ask that you forgive me for all the sins that I've ever committed. And today, I repent of those sins. I walk away from those sins because I am a child of yours.